Did you ever get a text message and you looked at it, you don't know who it's from, and you think, uh-oh, maybe this will be a problem?
Like, as far as, like, somebody that you'll engage with or have a conversation with?
I don't know. You know, sometimes being on the air crosses over with my personal life, and then, it, like, weird things happen.
Yeah.
So I talked about how I have a collection of creepy dolls. I do. A few years ago, we started collecting them for our Halloween decorations. My daughter Hayden, my older daughter, and I are very much into the Halloween decorating. We do it big. So one year we did creepy dolls, and we started collecting creepy dolls, and now we kind of love them. So we have, like, even though psychics have told me I'm just inviting demons into my house, I have a collection of them. They go outside during the Halloween season, and the rest of the time they live in giant Rubbermaid bins in my basement in my attic.
You know? Which is also a place of sadness. It's kind of like, you know, those tombs, a mausoleum really for them.
They have each other, and I've given them a lovely home.
Each other in purgatory.
Right.
I love the sound of that.
My girls, and I have a two guy ones too, Philip and Frank, and they are very content with their lives.
I mean, there's not a single person that encounters these dolls though and is not somewhat unsettled by the sight of them.
It's true. So Emily is my newest doll. I found her at a flea market a few weeks ago, and like I saw her standing all by herself, and nobody would go anywhere near her because she's pale. She looks like from 100 years ago, and she is creepy looking, I will say that. But like I immediately fell in love with her because there's something incredibly beautiful about her too, and how unwanted she was. I was like, no, if I don't have to pay $1 million for this doll, she's gonna come home with me. So I went to the lady and I said, excuse me, how much for that doll over there? And she looked at me and she was like, however much you want to pay. And I was like, I don't know, $5?
She just wanted you to take it.
Yeah. And she was like, deal. And she took my $5 and handed this doll, who I immediately named Emily. And Emily's tall. She's like, 3 feet tall, maybe?
Here's the thing. Now you're getting photos of other people's dolls.
So now, yeah. So back to the whole text messages. Now I'm starting to get text messages like on my personal phone, not my work phone or anything, my personal phone, of people just sending me pictures of creepy dolls. And I don't really know, like, I don't respond because, like, what am I supposed to say? Cool? Like, who are you? Like, what? Are you my dolls at home in my attic texting me? Like, I don't know. It's so weird, right?
On the one hand, you say to yourself, this could be somebody who's a like-minded individual who I would get along with great in the real world, right? And they've got a similar interest and they're sharing it with me. On the other hand, the ominous way that they just send the photos and they don't actually, you know, start any conversation with it, too, on top of it. Says, like, this could be actually a demon.
Right, a weirdo.
That wants your dolls.
They just come out of nowhere, you know? Like, and I don't know, am I supposed to respond and be like, cool, or do I just not respond at all? Monday Night Football is back, and if you're looking for a way to make it more festive in your house, how about making wings the perfect way?
Chicken wings are one of my favorite things. I'm about to stand up because I get so fired up about chicken wings. Yeah. I get so fired up.
Chef Plum from the Food Network, you get fired up for chicken wings?
Oh, chicken wings are one of my favorite things on the entire planet. I judge the New York Wing Festival every year. I get so excited. I say I went to culinary school to learn how to make the best chicken wings on the planet.
I gotta say, I would never make wings, taking it upon myself. It seems like it would be such a big operation. Like, I'm all for eating the wings, but making them, nope.
It does seem daunting.
No, a little part of me just died, by the way, Raven, when you said that.
I'm sorry.
Listen, chicken wings are super, super easy. There's several different ways to make them, but I like to use a technique called braising to start the wings off. It's two steps of cooking, okay? So I want to pre-cook them first and then finish them in the fryer so they get crispy. Now, if you don't want to fry, you can air fry. If you don't want to air fry, you can put them in the oven and it does the same thing. But the key thing is you want to braise them ahead of time. What does braising mean? Cooking for a longer period of time, at a little bit lower temperature, and a very flavorful liquid. So we're not really bringing it to a boil and going crazy on a rolling boil. So what I do is, I actually cook my wings in beer. So I'll take my package of wings, I'll throw them into a big pot, I'll pour a bunch of beer, whatever you got. Anything works great.
Doesn't matter what kind?
Nah, it's all fine. Once you get it hot, it doesn't matter anyway. Hot beer, yeah, we don't want to drink it, but it adds a lot of flavor.
Okay.
Well, it depends. We all had weird nights, right, Raven? and let them come to that, you know, that boil point. You want to basically bring the wing to 160 degrees, right? Bring it
so hold on. For somebody like me that doesn't know what that means, medium on the stove, that's where I set the burner?
All right, let's make it simple. Bring that liquid to a boil and then turn it down. How about
okay,
that?
Perfect.
So bring it to a boil and turn it down and let them cook till they cook all the way through. Once they're cooked through, take them out of that, let them dry.
How long do I think that is?
we got to get out of that mindset of how long and how high. Just cook it till it's done. Take a wing and open up and look at it.
Okay.
Then what we want to do is get them nice and dry, and that's when you can take them and put them in the oven, or we can put them in the fryer. If you're going to fry them, want them dry, because liquid and hot oil are not friends. But if you're going to put them in the oven, even easier, you're going to toss them with a little bit of oil, whatever you got, olive oil, vegetable oil, whatever you want to do. Just give them a toss a little bit so they get a little bit coated on that. Sprinkle some salt on them. Put them in the oven, 350 to 400 on convection if you have it. We just want to crisp them up on the outside. Once they get crisp on the outside, that's when you toss with your sauce. Let's talk about wing sauce for a second.
Okay.
I'm passionate about this. Right?
Before you get to sauce bomb, one question.
Yeah.
If I'm not the type that's doing prep for an hour or two before, because this sounds like an undertaking, a bit of it. I mean,
half an hour.
I mean, still, it seems like a lot to me. A guy like me, let's say I woke up from a nap 3 minutes before the game. Can I have done the rest of this prep the day before? And 100%. Then I just throw it in the oven right then?
100%.
Okay.
Do it before, absolutely. And you can actually eliminate the step of cooking in the beer if you want. It adds a lot more flavor to it, makes them more juicy. But if you really don't want to, you can put them right in the oven. But that usually makes them nice and dry.
No. If I've got the day before, okay, give me the sauces,
bro. Put them in the beer. So sauce. All right, listen. I've tasted thousands of wing sauces. My favorite that I make is really simple. Frank's Red Hot, a little bit of cumin, a little bit of chili powder, a dash of Worcestershire sauce. And the key component in this is butter. You have to melt butter to put it in the sauce. That's what makes it stick to the wing. So once you make the sauce, you can whisk it up in your bowl, toss your wings in it, and then put them on to a beautiful plate. And I like to do a little a blue cheese with it. But if you want to make it really fancy, and you're trying to show off for football, right? Mm. Let's act like it's a Jets game, and they're not going to win, so let's have great food. Put them on a plate. Let's take some crumbled blue cheese and cover it with it, and then take a peeler and peel celery on top of it. So it's like strings of celery on top of it.
No, that sounds insane.
Come on now.
I won't do all that. I'll do everything else. But there's no way I'm taking out like a thing and shredding like celery. No way.
You can do it.
If that went by way too fast and you want to get that recipe for the delicious cumin and whatever else it was, then we'll put it up on our podcast page. Just head to annaandraven.com.
Butter. I put that stuff on everything.
It's got to be there. Or hit me up on Instagram, @chef_plum. I'll give you the whole thing. I'm very active. I'll tell you everything.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's called All I Need to Know About You, but it could also be group therapy. What is that thing that drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. Get it all off your chest. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you let your child tease a dog through a fence and taunt that animal, that's all I need to know about you.
That's terrible.
This is where, you know, when I see the bull that jumps into the stands for the old bullfighting thing, where I'm just like, yes, get some, bull, get some. But you know what the problem is? Mm-hmm. I'd root for the dog to get some, but the dog doesn't understand. So it ruins that dog's behavior. And probably that dog gets seized and probably that dog gets put down because that child just has no manners whatsoever.
Yeah.
No consideration for anything around them.
You know, also, if you have, like, there's one neighbor. She walks with three dogs all the time, and she constantly goes by our house. And Lila is very timid. She's a fearful dog, so she doesn't do much of anything. So when she gets in confrontation, she kind of just backs away. She retreats. She goes inside. But these dogs are constantly, like, barking and going crazy at Lila. Why do you walk by my house seven times a day?
Right.
You know, like, I just don't understand. Like, why do you want to put us through so much stress? Like, you know what's going to happen. We've been down this road before.
Yeah, that's not considerate at all.
Yeah.
Like, when I walk my dogs, typically dogs in the houses bark at them. They don't usually bark back, and I certainly keep them moving. Hey, Ron, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you pull up to the pump every single time on the wrong side of your gas tank, that tells me everything I need to know about you.
You know what? I mean, I do see this from time to time. I don't want to be stereotypical. Often, it's either a teenager or it's somebody elderly. You know what I love, though, Anna? I love the long hose at the gas station. I love it.
We have two cars in our family, and the tank is on separate sides. A lot of times, I'll be driving and not realize it and pull into the gas tank. But I learned this a couple years ago. If you look at the little gas gauge on your car,
there's an arrow.
There's an arrow, and it shows what side the gas tank is on. And
right.
I remember the first time somebody called and said that and told us, I was blown away, and I ran downstairs to my car, and sure enough, it's true.
I think you were 38 when you learned that.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, remember? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I love the long hose, though. It just, when I grab the long hose and I go to the other side of the car from where I was and stick it in there, and everybody looks at me in amazement that's still five cars deep in their gas line. Like, I'm like, that's right. I'm smarter than all of you. But I don't have to say it out loud, but they know it to be true.
I feel like even those long ones, I'm always like stretching and I look ridiculous, like trying to get it around the back of the truck. Maggie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're at my house and I offer you a coaster and you don't use the coaster, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, I hate that person. I hate that person. I mean, it's a strong word, the word hate, but it's really like...
Wait a minute. You offer people coasters at your house?
Oh, yeah. We've got coasters out all over the place. If you come in, you've got a drink, and you go to set it down on one of my tables, I'm going to throw a coaster right in front of you.
Really?
Of course I am.
I have never, ever given a coaster to somebody at my house.
I mean, are your tables all covered with marble or glass? I'm confused. What, you don't have wood that actually, you know, would be a problem for?
I know. I guess because we use tablecloths at our real tables.
Oh, see. So, yeah. But, so, I mean, I've got a great big wooden dining table. There's no tablecloth. We don't use tablecloths on it. Just this beautiful dark wood. If I throw you a coaster and you're not using the coaster, it's over.
I thought the time of coasters was gone.
No.
I thought they had retired and they had gone out of the way like BlackBerry phones.
Mm-mm. Nope. I've got many, many coasters.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. All about Rihanna today, or Rihanna, however you want to pronounce it. Technically, it's Rihanna, but I feel like we all got so used to calling her Rihanna, like whatever.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's not do that to ourselves.
Yeah, she's confirmed to be the next halftime Super Bowl performer. It's going to be happening February 12th at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. And people are all, you know, whenever there's an announcement like this, there's the back and forth on it. But let's talk about hits. I mean, this woman has more hits than anything I've ever seen.
You're not going to attempt to try and play all of them right now, right?
Shine bright like a diamond.
All right, that's
so
one.
So many hits.
Okay, next.
Next one. Ready?
Hold yep. On. Yep. Hurry up. Right. You got to make it quick. Yep. Okay, big one.
Yep.
That was a big one. I love that one.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Wait. Not one of my favorites.
I love that one.
Not a huge song.
Yeah, I have a million more.
I think
more.
You put that in there for you. That was a little bit self-serving. That's not really a big hit.
It's a hit.
I'm going to have to see. That's a hit.
They're all hits. There's a million hits. I could do this literally all day.
Not necessary.
I just want to dance. Yeah. I want to dance right now.
You know? Yeah, I mean, listen, she's an incredible performer. She's an even better businesswoman. I mean, she's a great deal. But I got to be honest, the second I heard it announced, the only thing that came through me is, well, after hearing about Taylor Swift being offered it, it's kind of like a wah, wah. Why would they do that? Why would they announce that Taylor Swift was offered the gig for her to turn it down? Why would they do that?
Because who knows why?
Well, that was a mistake. It's not fair to Rihanna.
It makes sense a lot because, I mean, it's Roc Nation. Roc Nation is putting on the show, right?
But again, why would they do that to their artists then?
It doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense. Listen, nobody would be happier than Taylor Swift than me. I am a huge Swiftie.
I mean, she's just a huge entity is all I'm saying is.
I don't think Taylor Swift cares enough to do it. And truthfully, I didn't think Rihanna cared enough to do it.
You're wrong, dude. This is about the money. Taylor Swift already said like she wants to re-record her first six albums so that Scooter Braun, her old manager, and the people who now own the catalog to her music don't get that money. And so whenever somebody does the Super Bowl, their sales go up like 300, 500% across the globe. So it's a massive amount of money when you're talking about Taylor Swift. This comes down to money and timing. So again, why would they do that to Rihanna and announce that ahead of time? And you know what? Why would they even announce that about Taylor Swift? They want to just tell people they're trying? It's not a good look, to tell you the truth.
I think it's to create hype. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a good show because we're going to hear songs like this.
I want you to stay.
You're not going to hear that song. I don't think that you're going to hear that song.
It brings me to my next point where, like, the Super Bowl halftime is 14 minutes. 14 minutes.
Yes. You'll hear that one.
How is she going to choose in 14 minutes one of these 7,000 hits? But it's
over now. You're definitely not going to hear that one.
We're not going to hear Take a Bow.
I mean, you are digging now, man.
Oh.
Man, I know you're a Rihanna fan, but you are digging.
Digging?
You'll hear that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that made me upset was that as soon as this was announced, what started trending was memes, and they're saying it's going to be a 14-minute makeup tutorial for Fenty, and then they started taking a picture of her in front of her makeup line, Fenty. And I didn't think that was fair. Leave the woman alone.
Listen.
Like, she is an accomplished artist in every aspect, billionaire.
She's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be a great show.
There's going to be a lot of guests. You know that. You know, Jay-Z's getting up there.
I don't know that, man. I mean, I don't know. Again, it's her thing. She's such a big deal. We'll see who she brings.
It's Roc Nation. He discovered her. He put her on the first music. Jay-Z's going to be part of this, which means Beyonce's going to be part of
this. I'm not going to argue with you because you seem disproportionately like wound up about it. So,
true.
All right. We'll look forward to the Super Bowl.
The story is wild. You know, crazy stuff happens in church. That's for sure, right? So let's start with the fact that there's this pastor who I keep seeing these news articles pop up about. And here's his deal. He keeps getting into all these altercations. So about maybe like a month and a half ago, this was trending.
How many of you have lost your faith because you saw somebody else die?
He's giving his sermon, and then all of a sudden he gets bum rushed. He does all his services live streamed, which a lot of churches do now.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a bunch of people come up and they rob him on the altar. Here he is talking about it.
When I see them come into the sanctuary, I told everybody, get out.
Took off my bishop's ring, my wedding band, and took off my bishop's chain. And then I had chains underneath my robe.
Why is this guy wearing so much jewelry? Because he's called a designer pastor. He wears all this stuff.
This is this guy who got he got ripped off for like $1 million worth of jewels, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much is that bishop's ring supposed to be worth?
Why does he have so much money?
Seriously, what's up with that?
Now, this week in the news, this comes up. He's giving his sermon.
Now let's give Jesus a round of applause.
Now a woman comes up on the thing, and he starts screaming to get her off, and he basically punches her off the altar.
Wow.
Okay, now go over here. Grab her out.
Get her thrown off.
Are you saying Jesus doesn't know the rope-a-dope?
Of course,
this man has skills. All right, is that what you're saying? You're saying Jesus can't avoid a southpaw? Is that what you're telling me? A right-handed jab?
It's so odd, because after he, like, throws her off the altar, he gets right back up, and this happens.
Amen. Let's get back to the Word of God.
Let me calm down the room again.
And I'm like,
crazy things do happen at church.
Do they? Because I was thinking about what is the craziest thing I've ever seen happen at church?
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can think of is our pastor was really upset that we didn't sing loud enough. We're not raising our voices to God. And he like kept bringing it up week after week. And then one week, like, he was mad. He was mad that we were not singing loud enough.
Are you serious?
So he started doing the thing where it was like, I can't hear you guys. And I am the worst singer in the world, but I am a rule follower. So I'm, hallelujah! I'm just screaming in the background. And I'm like, this seems odd and weird. But that was the strangest thing for me.
Yeah. No, I remember. So it's kind of odd. Like, I have an aunt and uncle in law who actually, they own a church.
Right.
And it's a big church. Like, I mean, you know, it's not a Catholic church, but it's like a big church where everybody comes and it's huge is all I would say. And so I was there for some event. I forget what it was, but I was there for some like christening or something, or somebody was getting married or something like that. And I go, and in the middle of, you know, the after reception, I find out that they have a breakdancing team.
What?
Yeah. They have like some sort of breakdancing team there at the church. Where and immediately like this 50-year-old dude like starts like breaking it down right next to me. Like as soon as they tell me.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, we have a breakdancing team. And I'm like, wow, what do you guys do? He's like, well, we get together and it's, you know, about positivity and stuff like that. But then he immediately breaks into like a dance battle with this other dude next to me.
Do they travel with the cardboard?
I have no idea. You know what? I don't know. You know,
That's a valid question
that I did not ask at that time. But he immediately started like doing the robot and another dude. He like looked to another dude and the dude started doing the worm. Like just looked in his general direction.
Sometimes crazy things go down at church. A Brooklyn pastor twice in the news in the last few weeks. First time he was robbed during his service. They stole $1 million of jewelry off of him.
Hmm. He's one of these pastors that's a little bit look at me, Louie. You know, he's got the live stream thing. Anybody that's driving a Bentley to go to church, that seems a little bit out of sorts.
Right. Then he got into another altercation when a woman approached him on the altar and he punched her right off.
Mm-hmm. I've got a family member who actually leads a church, and it was off-putting to me when I found out that they had a breakdancing team, because immediately, as soon as I was informed they had a breakdancing team,
yeah,
a 40-year-old dude started challenging another guy to a dance battle.
Uh-huh.
And that just seemed out of sorts to me in the reception room.
it's just weird things happen at church, like break dancing, I guess.
Yeah, I went to another church event, too, where they were having like a big prom night for people that didn't get to go. It was one of those Tebow nights, the night to shine. It was so awesome. You know what I found out there?
What?
My Uncle Pat, who's got Downs, he's a Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He'll go up. He'll take your girl that you're dancing with, grab her by the hand, and then just drag her over to where he is and start dancing with her.
What did you see go down at church? 1-800-330-9999. Jeffrey.
It was actually at synagogue when I was a kid. We were all there for the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, and my little brother got food poisoning in the middle of the ceremony. And if you're not familiar with Rosh Hashanah, it's the busiest day of the year. Every Jew from everywhere comes, packed house, and we were sitting right in the middle of the row, and he puked all over everybody in front of us. Everything stopped. Everybody looked. It was terrible. It was the most embarrassing thing that had ever happened, but also one of the funniest.
It does sound terrible because, you know, for everybody else, the show goes on, Anna. All right. The show. Did you leave? Because I know your brother left, but did you actually get to leave, too?
We all left. Okay. Oh, yeah. The family, everybody left.
You got some families that'll be like, no, no, no. Go towel him off in the back and the rest of us are staying. But if you're sitting next to them, just the smell emanating after. Oh, that's tough.
The cleanup. There's nothing worse than, like, for some reason, I have been involved in way too many situations with kids getting sick in public places.
Nah.
And you have to clean it up. Like, you know.
Right, it's on you.
It's on you. So it's finding the paper towels, finding the towels, going to ask for it, going back, cleaning it up, finding the proper trash barrel to put it in. It's such an ordeal.
Meanwhile, the kid feels like they're dying. They're still sick in the other room.
Oh, you take them right out to the car. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dawn, what happened at church?
So this was during communion once at church, and there was a family in front of me, and one of the children, who's probably around like 11, took the communion wine and chugged the whole goblet of it. And so they had to stop everything and like refill the communion wine.
You're just drunk. Oh my gosh.
I feel like I did that as a child.
Well, it always is. It's always like a thing when they first get to, because they feel like they're doing something wrong because they're having a sip of wine and, like, you know, it's drinking alcohol.
I feel like I didn't know the difference.
What did you think it was?
You give me a cup, I'm going to finish it. anything you put in front of me, it was the years of clear your plate.
It was a gold goblet that somebody was handing you. You didn't just chug that standing at the altar. You know that that's wrong.
I was living Big Willie style then, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let's get back to the Word of God.
That's the pastor. That's exactly what he said after he pushed a woman right off the altar who approached him.
Sometimes you got to be well-versed in the martial arts, Muay Thai, or whatever. Who knows where he's been doing his missionary work? Could have been a hangout with Steven Seagal years ago. I don't know where he learned these moves.
Pastor in the news twice over the last few weeks. First time he got robbed at gunpoint, like for his jewelry. He was live streaming service. He was wearing all this jewelry. He got approached. Second time a woman came up. He was like, I'm not falling for this again. He punched her right off. I mean, it's awful.
Listen, if you got all your drip on, you got to be ready to flip.
But sometimes you go to church. You assume everything is going to be normal, quiet, kind of almost relaxing. I find it really therapeutic, but weird things go down. What did you see happen at church? 1-800-330-9999. Ruben.
Well, one time they were asking people to go up to the altar for praying for them, and one of the guys grabbed the pastor by the throat. Everybody thought he was possessed, and he tried to kill the pastor. Turned out to be that the pastor was sleeping with his wife.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrible.
That is crazy.
Imagine you're just the person in the third row going to church.
Yeah.
Like a normal day, and you got to see that go down.
I mean, I'm not going to say this happens all the time, but there's been a lot of stories, a lot of movies, plenty of TV shows. This has happened before.
Oh.
It's when those dark confessions are going on back there, right? Crazy.
Oh, this is for real. I was there.
Wild stuff happens at church, man. I believe you. Ava, what went down at church?
A mom and father, the father was there, but he wasn't even paying attention. Just let the toddler go throughout the pews, like just like a jungle gym. Like, yeah.
Oh, I have thoughts on this. So many thoughts.
Give me your thoughts, please. So I don't come off like a demon.
Okay. I bring my children to the children. Well, it's not technically the children's mass, but it's where the most children are. So it's kind of like widely accepted as a children's mass. But They have created in the back of the church a special glass that we can go behind now.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's like toys and stuff so that we don't have to interrupt everybody else. But I saw a mom, and I am not to shame a mom in church because I have been there. My toddler has screamed. She is climbing around. She takes like the pens and she writes in the Bibles, like in the books. Like, I mean, I have dealt with all of it. But the mom at church in front of me this past weekend, she had her two kids who were not little. They were probably like 7 or 8, right?
Hmm.
She had packed full lunch boxes for them. They were eating full yogurts. They had chips in there. They had water bottles. They had their iPad, coloring books, regular books, too. I was like, are you planning on living at church for the next 17 hours?
I mean, why bring them if they don't have to pay attention at all? I mean, why'd you bring them?
Because they have to be there.
No, that makes no difference whatsoever.
Yes, it does.
They have to be there, but they're not listening or learning anything.
No, they have to be there, and they have to just show up to church. I don't make the rules. God sees them. I just follow them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but I did think it was a bit much. I see a lot of parents that let their kids use electronics in church. I draw the line at that. But, I mean, at least they're, you know, not crawling all around the floor. There's that.
My grandmother would have never allowed electronics in church. You let the kids use electronics?
No, I don't.
No.
But you know what? I'm bad because I don't bring anything. So then it's just a lot of me, like, threatening her in her ear.
Right.
Like, Jesus is right there and he's looking at you. You see right. Jesus up there? And then, like, 30 minutes into Mass, I tell Hayden, my older daughter, I'm like, go ahead, bring her to the toys. And then they just run off to the back.
And the entire congregation is happier.
When you go to church, you don't really expect wild things to happen. You think you're just going to go sit in your pew and be quiet. Not always true. What did you see go down at church? 1-800-330-9999. Karen?
It actually didn't happen at church, but I was in Provincetown. I don't know if you know Provincetown.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw our priest with his boyfriend.
Wow. Huh.
I could see that being awkward.
Yeah, but...
So you didn't know beforehand that he had a priest or that he had a boyfriend, right? Priests aren't allowed boyfriends, are they?
No, they're not.
Girlfriends either.
Not in the Catholic Church. No.
Yeah, they're not allowed anybody.
No. They're married to God.
Not at all.
Oh, well, that seems like a very fulfilling, rewarding relationship. You know, on a Friday,
yeah,
Saturday night.
Yeah, I was there with my sister, and some of her friends from church were really freaking out, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Tina, what did you see go down at church?
Well, this is, I would say funny, but not really funny. I was raised in the Greek Orthodox Church, and every year at Easter time, on Good Friday, the church would have this candlelight procession. And one year, this woman backed up into someone's candle, and the whole side of her hair caught on fire at church. It was pretty traumatic at the time, but something you did not expect to see.
Yeah, you got to be careful with all that hairspray.
And all those candles everywhere.
This was back in the 80s.
Oh.
Big hair, lots of hairspray. Yeah.
It's a good thing she survived.
It just went up like a torch.
Hey, Catherine, what went down at church?
I went to church, and it was Ash Wednesday, and I went with a friend. And we're just kind of, you know, praying. And then all of a sudden, I see this priest come out, and he doesn't look like a priest. He looks like Superman. He's all muscular, wearing like his tight priest outfit, whatever you want to call it. And I just felt like it was sinful to watch him.
The priest was so hot, it was sinful to even lay eyes upon him.
Wait, he didn't wear the robe? He just put on a Superman outfit?
No, I mean, it was a priest outfit. It was just too tight.
You see his biceps, you can see his muscles. I'm like, dude, what is he doing?
She thought he was hot. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
I don't think I've ever seen a hot priest before. Jessica, what went down at church?
Apparently, the choir was, people were getting a little freaky, sleeping with people's husbands, and there was a showdown at church, and that's some stuff that the congregation shouldn't have heard in the parking lot. It was just a big shouting match. You're a freak. You're a freak. It just really got ugly and, very uncomfortable.
I'm picturing the choir at my church right now, and I can't imagine.
Well, I'm going to just go out here on a limb and say the choir at your church, I don't know if they hold a candle to this one, though, when they break it down. Because, you know, some choirs, they bring it. But that's the thing is, if you really, really into it, and you getting pumped up, and you're not just doing it for Jesus. You're doing it because you like to perform and all that. Sometimes things get a little bit hot between those other performers.
Oh, gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah. I once saw a guy fall right off the back riser. at our church in the choir.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big choir, and that dude just fell right off. And you know the saddest part about it?
Yeah.
The show just went on.
Well, what are you supposed to do? The show must go on. Like, everybody knows that.
The guy fell from an elevation. Like, it was, like, 4 feet in the air. Like, one person looked to see if he was okay.
Yeah.
Nobody else moved. They just kept on singing.
For the record, if we're ever in a situation where we're doing something and I fall off the stage,
yeah,
just keep going. Just pretend like it didn't happen. Don't draw any attention to me. Just continue on.
Yeah, like the Titanic. The band played on.
Yep. Producer John's car got stolen last night. What happened?
So I woke up this morning, and I went downstairs and went into my parking garage, and I'm doing the thing I usually do. I got my key out, you know what I mean? I'm beeping it just over and over and over again. Not hearing anything. I don't hear anything for the first couple seconds. That's weird. But I'm like, ah, you know what? I usually park on floor number two. Probably parked on floor number three. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Walk up the stairs. Beeping, beeping, beeping. I don't hear the beep. And then I start to panic a little bit. I'm like, hold on just a second here. This is weird. Now I'm going
through.
Your
heart starts to flutter the second you start to realize something's wrong.
Now I'm going through the entire weekend, and I'm like, huh, what happened? Let's see. There was that music festival I went to this last weekend.
I mean, it's amazing to me that you go the entire weekend. You have to backtrack in your mind to realize that, you know, where you might have left your car or not. But.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, there was a music festival near where I live, and I walked to it, and I walked to it on Saturday. And then Ubered home. I basically haven't driven the car in 2 days. So I'm thinking I forgot something. And I'm still hoping that there's a detail that I forgot. Or maybe I parked weird and they towed me. Or I don't know what's going on. But it's been a couple hours now and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, that your car's probably gone, man.
I think maybe you lost it. Maybe it's just on. Did you check the first floor?
Yeah.
I mean, this would be me. I would assume that I had parked it somewhere incorrectly and I forgot where I put it or something happened, and I would never think that it actually got stolen. But there's a good chance. But then you told me the car's a Honda.
That is my dearest hope, is that I messed something up and I'm forgetting some detail. I don't think I am.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of her, because I've had a car stolen. Your car got stolen.
Yeah, it did.
Your car is gone. Either your car got towed, which it would have to get towed out of your parking garage, which that seems odd.
Yep.
I wouldn't think that they're doing that. Or your car got stolen, which is, it's a terrible feeling. It's sad. I feel for you, buddy.
But, like, what do I do?
Well,
like, this is a scenario that I've never been in before.
Well, so people think that you call the police when a car gets stolen, and they show up, and they're going to be, like, fingerprinting and taking photos and revealing and going over, you know, closed circuit television. None of that is happening. Cars get stolen at such a rate right now, and manpower being what it is, and other crimes being what it is. Unless that car is crashed in front of a police officer, they're going to find it when those people stop driving it, most likely. If they do a traffic violation, that's one thing. But I had a car stolen. They were like, yeah, we're probably going to pick it up in a couple days. Ironically, I'm on the phone with my credit card company because they're making charges because they got my cards out of the car, too.
Yeah.
And they were like right across town. They didn't like speed off, sirens going. None of that.
That's right. I have so much personal information in that car, too. That's another phone conversation I have to make later. So this is really great.
Did you call the police?
Yeah.
And what did they say?
They called us back. They said to call us back when I can sit down and talk to an officer. They also said to call my building. I've got a call into them. I'm waiting on a call back from them.
Do you have cameras in your parking garage?
There's a camera at the gate.
Oh, this is exciting. Terrible.
I mean,
but exciting.
I'm so glad
exciting
you're
is not the word I would have used.
No, but I mean, like, we get to, if somebody stole the car, they would have had to go through the video camera to exit the garage.
That's correct.
So we'll be able to see it.
No, they're not going to see anything. They're going to see his car leave. Even if you see the bad guy, you're not going to see his face. His photo ID.
Nope.
You're not going to be able to read any of that. It's going to be a terrible, terrible video.
What if we see it and we can recognize the person?
Unless it's somebody that works with us in this building. You're not going to recognize.
Anna's going to track him down. Anna's going to citizen arrest this guy with my car.
I mean, are you hopeful that you get it back or don't get it back? Because I got mine back and you'd rather not have it.
Yeah, there's a $2,000 guitar in the trunk. So I'm hopeful I get it back, Raven.
Oh, my gosh. Producer John got his car stolen last night. He thinks, anyway. He lives in an apartment building. He went on every floor, can't find his car. Called the police. The police said we have to check with the management company. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a mess. I had my car stolen before. I mean, right now he's still in that spot where he hasn't, like, gotten a report about where it is or where it ended up. So he's still hopeful, right? You know, and he's like, oh, maybe I misplaced it. And it got towed or something like that. But it probably got stolen. I went to a concert when I moved back to this area after I had been living away for years at a Mustang convertible. Older car, fun to drive, but not really expensive or anything like that. And I parked it down this side street where everybody would park typically for the concert. Long story short, show's over. Come back. Car's gone. I mean, frankly, it wasn't even the end of the show. It was probably maybe like an hour later or even like that. It's, I'm talking broad daylight. Came back, car was gone, called the police. Police show up. They're like, yeah, we're probably going to find it in a couple days. Meanwhile, I'm on the phone. They're using the credit card across town. Nobody takes off to go find these people, even though the credit card's like, yep, they just used it 30 seconds ago or whatever. I got it back a week later. Both of the door locks were popped off, despite the fact that they could have just used a knife and opened it and went through the convertible or just pulled the window out. They destroyed both doors and they got my wallet that was in the car, too. Transmission dropped in the car 2 weeks later.
Huh?
Yeah. I got it all repaired, put it back together. That's the one my ex-wife took.
Oh, the one that your wife, she set on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had that car rebuilt and then your ex-wife lit it on fire.
That was the second time I had rebuilt the car, good, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
It was tough.
1-800-330-9999. Frankie, you had your car stolen?
Well, it wasn't me. It was my daughter-in-law. Someone stole it right out of her driveway, hit my son's car, hit their house, and then she has one of those tiles on her keychain. So she was showing the police, look, there's my car. Here's where it's going. And they were like, yeah, no, we can't chase them. We can't do anything.
Told you.
So 2 days later, they found it. They were checking plates, and they happened to find it locked, parked in Hartford in front of an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So my son had to go with the spare key so they could take it to wherever they impound it. And then they had to go through it, and then she got her car back again.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like I said, it's not like they go tearing off, whole shot in the driveway to go catch this person. The amount of danger that's incurred if they try to pursue somebody, you know, stealing a car, whatever. And the fact is that they don't prosecute the people that steal these cars. So they'll say that it's joyriding or whatever, and then they walk away. So it's very different than what you expect.
I have to say, if I ever got my car stolen, I don't want it back. I don't, like, I think it's so weird that somebody stole my car and sat in my car and did God knows what in my car, and now I want it. No, keep it. Like, I don't hope it. They never find it again.
Yeah, most of the time, they do find them, most of the time.
Hey, Becca, you had your car stolen?
I've had two vehicles stolen from me before.
How?
Girl, you need to move. What happened?
Right.
The first time my vehicle was stolen, it was a scooter, and it was stolen right out from my front sidewalk. I recovered it like 6 months later when I saw the lady driving it, and I followed her with the cop cars, you know, trailing behind me. She brought the scooter inside her apartment with help from a friend, and then the cops went in. They're like, oh, yep, this is one, and they rolled it right out for me, which was awesome.
Did they let you citizen arrest her?
No.
Why?
Probably told her she shouldn't even be trailing her.
Yeah, she did get arrested. I never pressed charges, but I guess I still might be able to.
I mean, why would you not press charges?
Why
would
you
100%
not
press charges?
Why wouldn't you citizen arrest somebody if given the opportunity?
It was way too much paperwork for me.
Oh, my God.
It seems crazy to me because I've never had anything like this. Oh, everybody knock on wood, happen.
Right.
But Producer John's car got stolen last night.
It's common. You know, these things happen. Maybe not last night. He hasn't seen the car since Friday night, I think it was, or Saturday. He parked it. He went to a music festival around the corner all weekend, but it got stolen over the weekend. I've had a car stolen. It's, you know, it feels like a violation. It's a very strange sensation when you come out and you're like, wait a minute, I left it right here.
I mean, there's been plenty
of
times
right here
where I've been at the mall, like, you know, and it's Christmas, so there's, you know, I don't remember where I parked the car, it's somewhere
sure.
else. Yeah, but then I find it, you know?
Right, right. But for a second, you're scared.
And I immediately
right,
think someone
morning.
Stole it. Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, you had your car stolen?
Yes, I did. Right from in front of my house.
Did you end up getting it back? What happened?
No, I didn't get it back. The police told me that they came in the middle of the night. We have it on film. We had cameras. All my neighbors had cameras. They seen them drive away with my car with somebody following them. And the cops told us that when you have a nice car, it says it's on a container so fast that you never see the car again. It's gone. You'll never see it again.
I mean, here you are.
And it's been almost a year, and I haven't seen it.
Here you are, perfect conditions. You got 30 camera angles, and nobody can find the vehicle. The vehicle is still gone. They're just like, nah, it's probably on a boat. Huh? Oh, thanks.
That's what you get for having a nice car.
What?
Sorry, you worked so hard your life.
It's really disheartening because they have a million angles, exactly.
Right, right.
No, and nobody can see the license plate of the
or
car
the guy.
Following
right.
them. Nobody can see the people. Nobody can see anything. But my car is gone. It's really horrible.
Debbie, you had your car stolen?
Oh, God. It was so traumatic. I can't even tell you. I was in my 20s. My husband and I had gone to a wedding on a Saturday. And then Sunday, we drove to Boston because I was supposed to spend a week of training. And so we're so stupid. We go to this, like, little parking thing with a little booth, and the guy's got the apron on, and my husband gives him the keys and the money, and then we wander around Quincy Market, do all this stuff. So we come back, and the car's gone. We go to the police station. They made us wait in this really long line, and basically they didn't care because cars were stolen constantly. So we take the bus ride of shame home, and 2 weeks later, we get a call that they found my car, right, in another town. And so they're like, you have to come up here and claim it. Well, I go to claim my car. Everything's out of it. A week's worth of clothes, our clothes from the wedding. And it smells like a combination of that nasty strawberry air freshener, weed, and body odor.
Oh, yeah.
It's so disgusting.
Yep.
They had burnt out one of the tires. There was like a little, like that little mini spare on it. The cops had ripped into the trunk with some thing because they didn't have the keys. I was like, oh my God. I just cried. I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing now? Like, it broke down. It broke down on the way home. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. I'm telling you, when I got my car back, it was the worst thing that could have happened. I love that the cops opened your trunk. They were looking for a body.
Oh.
That's what they were looking for. It's amazing.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Patrick and Alyssa. Patrick, let's start with you. What's going on?
So every time Alyssa and I go out to a meal, you know, she'll tell the server about her allergies. You know, I'm allergic to shellfish, or I'm allergic to wheat, or I'm allergic to gluten, or please no dairy, I have a bad allergy. And you know, that would be fine, except it's all made up. She doesn't have any allergies. She's just being picky, and it drives me insane, because like you're just adding work to the servers, and it's taking so long, you know?
Alyssa, why would you lie about having allergies?
Okay, well, first of all, Patrick, you know that I'm a fitness educator. You know I compete. And I just want my food to be clean. I've told them in the past, don't put cheese, don't put gluten. Make sure the pasta doesn't have any dairy or, you know, just clean, clean, clean. And inevitably, these people in the back who are cooks, I'm not trying to make their lives difficult, but they don't do it. I mean, my taste buds are very picky. So that's why I tell them that I'm allergic to wheat, nuts, dairy, eggs, because I don't want it in my meal. I don't want it. I want to make sure that they are very, you know, precise about what I want to eat. I don't understand the problem. They're chefs. They're there to cook, Patrick. Come on.
You know, I've witnessed this plenty of times, and the truth is that you're right, Alyssa. A lot of times you'll be very succinct in your order and what it is that you want and expect or whatever, and whether it's the fact that the waiter or waitress feels it below them to write it down or actually convey it to the kitchen, or whether or not the chef actually reads the ticket, it comes out more times than not incorrect. There's still something in there that, you know, wasn't wanted. And then you've ruined the meal for everybody because now it has to go back. It has to be redone. It's going to take forever. Everybody else is done. I'm not totally against this. I'm not going to make you a villain.
I'm not totally against it. But as a mother who has a child with severe nut allergies she's anaphylactic, my little one. It bothers me because, like, I know when I go into certain places that they will take her nut allergies very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know there's certain ice cream places that I go to that they will open a new chocolate container for her every time she walks in. Just so, like, there's no cross-contamination. And there's plenty of other places where I tell them that she has severe nut allergies and they do none of that, which is okay because it's my job to monitor that. But I also don't think it's fair for people that don't have severe allergies to kind of use that as an excuse just because you're being picky.
I mean, but what are you talking about? You're talking about an item being opened up at a restaurant that you're paying for. This is a weird hang-up of yours. This is not an actual problem for a restaurant which is paid to prepare food. They're going to use that chocolate ice cream or whatever it may be. They're just going to open it for you to ensure your safety. So your problem is that these people aren't taking it seriously enough.
Well, I think there's a difference between preference and actually saying you have a medical condition. And I think what you're saying is what you have is preference. And I'm not saying it's not annoying. Sure, everybody knows it's annoying when you order something and you get the wrong thing. It's another thing to say that you're going to have a medical reaction to it. And now everybody has to go on high alert. And it's fake. It's not real. But yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Patrick, that it is wrong for her to be lying about having food allergies when she doesn't. She's just an inconvenience to the kitchen. But they may see your side too, Alyssa. It's their job to create what you're asking them to make. And by making these demands and letting them know you have these quote unquote fake allergies, it's ensuring they do that.
You know what? To me, Alyssa, it's the same thing as putting 3 exclamation points next to hold the onions. It's the same thing to me. Not a moral question, but we'll find out what people think. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Alyssa is one of those very, very picky eaters, and she's really into fitness. She's a fitness model. She's a fitness educator.
She's a professional athlete. That is her job.
So when she goes out to eat, she lies, and she says that she has all these food allergies so that the restaurants don't sneak in the butter, don't sneak in all the things that she doesn't want. And Patrick, her husband, is really embarrassed by it.
He thinks it's more than obnoxious. He just thinks that it's not right, all right? And she says, well, listen, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it's for everybody. I'm just saying that this is the way that I've found out that I have to do to go ahead and get my food the way that I want it. I'm very particular about how clean my food is and what I want going into my body, and they just don't listen. And everybody knows they've been to a place before where they've seen somebody ask for things and they don't get what they're asking for.
On our text line at 1-800-330-9999, she's wrong. When people fake allergies, restaurants begin to take actual allergies less seriously because they know people fake it. It becomes dangerous for people with real allergies to go out to eat. As a nut allergy mom, because my little one has severe allergies, I get that. I don't think saying you have a medical condition when you have a preference is the same thing.
To say that what she's doing is making the restaurant less aware for other customers, that's a lot of assumptions you're making there, Texter. I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to that. You're talking about human nature. You're not talking about what it is Alyssa's doing.
Whose side are you on? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
This is Lucy. I agree with the husband. I have severe allergies, and if you're using that as an excuse, I just feel like the top.
I'm sorry, your phone broke up. You just feel like what?
Nope.
Hello? Oh my God. Her severe nut allergies killed her.
Not funny. Not even funny.
Oh my God, they killed her.
Oh, she's fine.
They killed her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. It's hard to be diplomatic when you have a child that has severe nut allergies. It really is.
And I understand that. I mean, as much as I can understand. Which one of your friends offered to hold up a bank truck for EpiPens when we found out that Dakota had an allergy?
Mm-hmm. That's true. So Alyssa, she is a fitness fanatic, and it's her career, too. She does training and she does competitions and all that. So when she goes out to eat, she lies and says that she has all these food allergies because she doesn't want them to put unwanted things in her meals. Now, her husband, Patrick, thinks this is absolutely obnoxious because she doesn't have a medical condition. It's all preference.
Yeah, he says that she has to stop. But she says, listen, if I just tell them what I want, they never, ever, ever get it right. And everybody knows that feeling.
Is she wrong for lying about these allergies just to get the food she wants when she goes out to eat at restaurants? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I'm on her side, absolutely. Because I have dairy allergies. And restaurants are used to nut allergies, they're used to gluten-free. So anybody that says I have a dairy allergy just makes them more aware. They have to be careful what they're doing when they're preparing food.
I feel like half the time they don't believe it anyway. So they'll try and slip a little in. They'll be like, oh, what's it going to do, make her gassy? I'm with you.
I had a reaction in a restaurant once because they put butter on my food.
See that? Right. So, say what you need to say to get your food the way that you need it. Hey, Amanda, whose side are you on today?
So, I've got to say, I'm a little torn. I'm a little on both sides because I have a similar problem with my mom in the morning. Like, I actually
lactose intolerant, and they charge for almond milk if you want to do it. Most of them do, not all of them.
Sure.
But, like, so I see where it's a great idea to get what you want and what you're paying for, but at the same idea, it's messed up because I'm also in the medical field. I know how nerve-wracking it could be if something so simple goes wrong because then... everything is dismantled. I gotta say, morally,
yeah.
I'm with the husband, but respectfully, I'm with the wife.
Right, right. For practical purposes, right. And I think it's just that. I think it's just a means to an end, but... I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's nothing I would feel good about. But at the same time, if you've said the same thing over and over again to people and you've gotten the wrong result over and over and over again, at some point, you just want to make sure that you're getting what it is that you're requesting.
I don't know. It just feels weird about lying that you have a medical condition that you don't have.
Yeah, well, Anna believes that if you lie, you get struck by lightning wherever it is that you're sitting.
Yes.
So
yes.
This is her problem.
Was right for lying, though.
Right, right. No, right. So you won't get struck by lightning. No, I understand. Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Patrick, our audience agreed with you today. Alyssa, it's obnoxious. You know, there's people with real allergies and crying wolf. It's just in bad taste.
All right. Well, I don't have a choice then. Patrick, I will let them know. Just try to be very specific and kind. And hopefully, you know, they'll get what I want to eat correct. And that's all I'll do. But I won't lie anymore.
You know, and the first time that they do screw it up, which is going to be the next time that you order your meal, she's going to look to you and say, okay, right? Okay. Patrick, do you feel better?
Yeah, I mean, of course I do. Because, like, you know, we're no longer, like, putting up a facade or whatever, you know? Like, and if they get the order wrong, it's not deliberate. You know, they're serving, like, what, a couple of hundred people every day? You know, of course they're going to make, you know, one or two orders wrong. We can just send it back. You know, we're in no rush. We're not trying to eat. You know, we're not trying to set a world record for fastest dining experience. So, no, yeah, I feel great. Thanks, guys.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,600. All right, Barbara, you ready to play?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Barbara.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Barbara. Raven is walking out of here. Now, I want to give you all this money. So all you need to do is get more questions right than he does. It's 5 pop culture questions. He can't hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right. Remember, ties go to Raven. Number one, HBO is turning the 80s horror classic Scanners into a TV show. In the film, scanners are psychics with unusual telepathic powers. What Netflix show follows a group of kids from Hawkins, Indiana, who stumble across a girl with telepathic powers?
Stranger Things.
Number two, Sylvester Stallone visited the Vatican and was given keys to Vatican City. Vatican City is the world's smallest country located in what city in Italy?
Rome.
Number three, John Cena is set... he set a Guinness World Record for granting the most wishes through Make-A-Wish. John Cena released his first rap album in 2005, and it was titled after his catchphrase. What is that?
You can't see me.
Number four, Rihanna will headline the next Super Bowl halftime show. What's Rihanna's last name?
Hold on, let me think.
That's time.
Fenty, F-E-N-T-Y.
I think you missed it. I got to look back on the time. Number five, James Earl Jones has retired from voicing Darth Vader. He's also voiced Mufasa from The Lion King and Omadon from what movie?
Oh, Conan.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in. I will bring, I'll give you four. All right. A 4 out of 5 for Barbara.
Oh, you'll give her 4? Sounds like nonsense. I can't wait to play. Let's see how it goes, Babs. $2,600.
Come on, Raven.
Number one. You might have cheated on 4. I'm still going to give it to you because I'm feeling generous today. Number one, HBO is turning the 80s horror classic Scanners into a TV show. In the film, scanners are psychics with unusual telepathic powers. What Netflix show follows a group of kids from Hawkins, Indiana, who stumble across a girl with telepathic powers?
Stranger Things.
Yes. Number two. Sylvester Stallone visited the Vatican, was given keys to Vatican City. Vatican City is the world's smallest country located in what city in Italy?
It's in Rome, right?
Yes. Number three, John Cena has set a Guinness World Record for granting the most wishes through Make-A-Wish. John Cena released his first rap album in 2005, and it was titled after his catchphrase. What is that?
You can't see me.
Yes. Number four, Rihanna will headline the next Super Bowl halftime show. What's Rihanna's last name?
Fenty, worth a billion bucks.
Yep. Also her makeup line. And number five, you guys are tied at four. James Earl Jones has retired from voicing Darth Vader. He has also voiced Mufasa from The Lion King and Omadon from what movie?
I have no idea.
That's Deep, The Flight of Dragons. Yeah.
Not for me. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Barbara. You guys tied at four. I gave you number four as a gift, too, but unfortunately, it's not going to be enough.
It's Barbara, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,700 tomorrow, Anna.
Oh, somebody's got to win this money.